Bob, what'd you think of the hit? Max Domi, his cheap, hit last night.
Cheap on Barkov. He on goes Barkov. After Barkov, who he should have gone after is Sam Bennett.
He was barking up the wrong tree.
But he made a statement, and guess what's going to happen in the next game? Guys like Bennett and Tkachuk are going to go after the prominent players, Austin Matthews, John Tavares, whoever. But Sam Bennett's been the guy who's taken some cheap shots.
This was a bad hit.
It was a bad hit.
Because
it was,
it's a type where you send somebody head first.
He could have broken his neck.
Yeah, it's the most dangerous kind of hit.
He got a $5,000 fine from the Players Association or the safety department, whatever they call themselves.
Yeah.
They should have been that's a suspendable hit, I think.
I'm hangry now, Bob. A combination of hungry and angry, and just want to pick fights with you.
I don't understand why you go from this gamut
because
of emotional
I
swings.
Eaten. I thought there was food in here today, Limits, and I want to fight Bob over it.
On a Monday?
Yeah.
There's never food here on a Monday.
Yes, there is.
Why do you
want to
fight
with
me?
You on everything,
I am one of the
too.
Most agreeable persons. I like everything.
No, you're not. I'm going to disagree with every single one thing, every single one of you say. What time's the Pirates game tonight?
7:10.
I disagree.
Wrong.
It's cloudy outside.
7:11.
It's 7:10.
It's cloudy outside.
They have seven games coming up this
yes,
week.
Yes, it is. It is cloudy.
They got the Mets and the Phillies. What do you think they'll do?
Not well. Do you? I mean, could win today, but those are two really good teams.
Do you think Skeens gets a little bit of an extra thing when he goes into a big stadium or a big team like New York, a big stage?
No.
No, you don't think so?
Oh, yes. I do. He did against the Dodgers earlier this year in L.A.
I think he really does.
All right, I'm just disagreeing with you. I guess he does, but he's also been good in small stages,
right? No, I know,
right?
But I mean something extra, just because it's the Mets and down the road, who knows?
Well, what do you mean by that, extra?
Well, I'm just saying.
Extra velocity,
extra just
adrenaline?
You know how it is. When someday,
no, I don't.
Yes, you do.
I don't.
When you play a good golf course versus someplace that you don't
yeah,
like.
Yeah, I'm worse.
But you have to dial in more. You get more amped up, don't you?
No.
If not, then you're not doing a good job as a golfer.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Lock in, Joe. Lock in. Lock
I can't.
In.
Well, they need a win today. What'd you guys make of the weekend? Don Kelly. I see a lot of...
I was happy for him. Lebanon guy. I like him a lot. I think, you know, I want to see him do well.
So do I. Do you think there was a palpable difference? I see a lot of comments under the stories at the Post-Gazette. People imagining, or maybe it was real, that the team was more locked in. I'm not so sure about that,
They
Bob.
Had two successful sacrifice bunts in the Saturday game.
I like the fact that he's bunting in extra innings. I've lamented that before on this show. Why not just move the runner? Now, it didn't work. They lost the game. They went to extra innings. But I do like that. Is there some sort of palpable difference here?
No, I thought the bullpen usage was kind of similar. I didn't see anything, you know, different. Other than extended, you know, playing time for some of these guys who
like
did not get it under Derek Shelton, maybe that's...
What about just the vibe? I mean, I think that's hard to define, Limits, but I think if the vibe improves in any workplace, then there's maybe a better chance that you get better production.
Well, because it could take some stress and tension off of some people. And maybe we do see that with just a different messaging with Donnie Kelly, somebody that has played multiple different positions.
Is it that or just not having Shelty? It's not really about Shelty. It's just that everybody knew it needed to end. It is kind of about Shelty. I'm not saying he was a negative personality, though. It's just the Shelty era needed to end and was a drag on the team. It was like all we've ever done with this guy is lose. Maybe just a freshened atmosphere gets some different results.
Yeah.
I don't know, Bob. I'm grasping at straws. Everything was the same except the manager.
And a series win. That had not happened all that much. But I think you could even tell it was on Derek Shelton's face. It was almost like he knew what was coming. The stress was starting to get to him. And they had come off a series in which they did not score hardly at all. And it was just one thing after another. So,
well, it's not like they lit the scoreboard in this one, but they got enough.
But that's still the problem, not enough offense. And where do they get it? Ultimately, in time, they're still going to have the same problems. And Don Kelly's got to deal with those problems. So,
but at least they won a series. They won a series, and next up could be Bubba Chandler. And that's going to be mighty.
That'll give you a little adrenaline push, right?
The number two prospect in all of baseball.
Corey Nimbley Pipeline. They just updated their list yesterday.
His first game will be an event. And then you have Skeens and Chandler maybe back-to-back in the rotation. I think that's a little sliver of life and optimism, Bob.
Sure it is, but it's May, what is today, May 12th. I would have had Chandler up here before this, and I would have, you know, if Jared Jones forced their hand into having him on the roster to start the season last year, I thought Bubba Chandler should have had the same opportunity. But they didn't want to do it for a lot of other reasons, and I understand those reasons. But
do you guys think Don Kelly's presence made a difference? That's what I'm trying to say.
I think like Limits? Any change, yes. Sorry.
No, go ahead.
No, yes, Austin.
I think somewhat, yes. I mean, it's just,
in what way?
Over the course of 162, it's kind of hard to say in three games in one series, especially when it's at home. But I think there was a slight shift somewhat in the culture, or maybe so just the vibe of the team. It seemed like they were playing a little bit looser, especially everybody knowing that at the flip of a coin, Shelton could have been fired.
I don't know what that means. I hear what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you. But what does it mean that they played looser? Bob, do you think that just getting rid of Shelton was a boost?
I think it turned out to be that way, maybe. I can't describe it. It's an intangible thing. But I think anytime there's a change, it gets your attention as a player, because now you have to, you know, deal with a new manager, try to impress the new manager. They have enough young guys on this team who want to get playing time. You're trying to do it that way. So we'll see the longer this goes on. But again, you're not necessarily going to change the ultimate situation here, which is they don't have enough offense. So no matter who the manager is, you're going to have to deal with that reality every day.
Well, and unlike George Pickens' comments on Instagram that are run by AI, apparently, these are not robots. You know, like, emotions do shift when something as big as firing the manager does happen. Yeah. Skeens discussed it a little bit on Friday, too.
I think it's natural. But the question is, how long does that last?
Yeah. Sometimes in any sport, there's a strange effect. But I don't know. Did it affect Carmen Majinski?
Why does it have such
He's the biggest reason they won the game,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, he was great. I still believe he's better in the bullpen, but 5 2/3 is the most he's gone against a pretty good hitting team, I think.
He looked great.
Yeah. But ultimately, he's still, to me, he could be a closer. He could be somebody who's in a high leverage kind of guy, and I like that.
Maybe when Chandler comes in, he would move to a role like that, right? Or back to a role like that.
Maybe not. I mean, I think Jared Jones's injury. Well, they have Falter and Heaney, so it depends on what they want to do with him.
Chandler's got to be here, and he's got to be here soon.
Yeah.
Do you think he will be?
Would they wait until the next homestand just to do it that way?
Maybe.
He should have been up here already, in my view, though.
I agree with that. Limits, do you agree with that?
Yes. Beginning of May, I would have been completely okay if he would have came up in this series against the Braves. But I do think they should have got the service time, which they did. So I'm okay with that.
What do you need the service time for? Why do we care
extra
what happens
year of control?
Six years from
well,
now?
Well, we're already counting down. Well, Paul Skeens, you'll have him for four more years. If he wouldn't have won Rookie of the Year, in that case, they should have just had him on the opening day roster. I don't think Chandler, with the way that the ball club's going and the amount of time that he might have if he gets here at the beginning of June, is going to win Rookie of the Year. So I would much rather have an extra year. Like, we're
Bob,
already
do you
saying
agree
it was
with
Skeens.
Limits? You don't, obviously, because you said he already should have been here.
I agree that if they feel the guy's ready to go, and if they had, I guess I needed to see more offense before I would have made this conclusion. Seeing what I saw, and they did nothing in the offseason to really address significantly their offense, then I understand why they kept him down there. They probably thought this was going to be difficult for any pitcher, especially a young one coming up. But I'm trying to win now. This is year six for them. They should have pulled out all the stops. Forget the 1 year of control, although I understand why they do it. A lot of teams do it. But you're trying to make a statement here, and for your own self-preservation, you should want the best team up here right now. I'm sure Derek Shelton would have liked to have everyone who's ready to pitch up here right now.
But he kept giving O'Neill Cruz a rest, for God's sakes, or at least on back-to-back days. Remember Cruz off his feet, Limits?
I always tell you, how a big fan of Matt Olson, how I thought the Braves did something the Pirates could have done. They could have raided the Oakland A's back then when Oakland was getting rid of players. And they gave, you know, they lost Freddie Freeman. That was a big expense for them. So they ended up going to Matt Olson at a really good contract. He has not missed a game in like 600. He's like this version of Cal Ripken. And his offense doesn't suffer so much because of it. He's consistently putting out numbers.
Well, let's hear from Ben Cherington from his show yesterday. And a couple of choice quotes, Limits.
Well, Ben Cherington said that, yes, some guys have not played up to their projections yet, but he believes that they will.
There's two ways to look at it. You can go back to the beginning, go back to spring training, and look at projections. What do we think, or what does the public think this player is going to hit in 2025. And you can compare what guys are doing now to those numbers. And in a lot of cases, the performance is under what the preseason projection said. Another way to look at it is to look at the actual
results
that
happened. Who's making the preseason projection?
So you take Brian Reynolds, for example.
Bob, you interrupted him.
Look at the actual results that have happened on the field. And then you compare that to what we think should have happened, like, or would happen over a full season if he did all the same
things. I don't know what he's talking about now. Stop.
Now you interrupted yourself.
Yes.
So what I'm saying is he makes it sound like it's coming from a computer. Preseason.
We talked about this earlier. Most of their hitters we knew would stink, and most of them stink. What are him and Bob Dunning talking about when they say we have these guys who haven't lived up to expectations? Who? Limits, give me a player on this team that you expected way more out of. A guy who you thought would be good, who instead is bad. Give me one. Brian Reynolds?
Yes, that would be the only one. And he's hitting, what, around 220?
210.
Yeah, he's been bad. Other than that, like, I didn't expect much from IKF, who's now injured.
No, we could go through the whole lineup.
Any of them. Tommy Pham.
I expected nothing from Hayes. I've gotten nothing.
Frazier.
Cruz has outperformed expectations. McCutchen, right to expectations. Frazier, I knew wouldn't be good, not good. Pham, I knew would stink, stinks. Kiner Falefa, mediocre his whole career, mediocre. Exxon Valdez, figured would stink, maybe even slightly above stinking. Triolo can't hit, still can't hit. The canary in the coal mine couldn't hit, still can't hit. Andy Rodriguez, probably not good. He's not good. Jack Sawinski, figured he'd stink. He stunk. Henry Davis, same. Anybody else, Bob? What is he talking about?
I don't know.
All these guys who haven't lived up to expectations.
The expectations were not good to begin with. And they have somebody tell them that their expectations were supposed to be higher. So whoever's coming up with that conclusion, you may have to question them a little bit. That's all.
We've performed below expectations, all these guys, offensively. Not any reasonable expectation.
That's the thing. Like, they legitimately are banking on guys having a career year, year after year after year, and outperforming the mean. Remember the mean?
Yeah,
that's
right.
Basically what they're going off of.
I mean, honestly, I'm being honest about that. When I look up and down this lineup, the only guy who I can say I thought would be way better than this is Brian Reynolds. And the fact of the matter, he usually gets off to bad starts, so I can't really even say that. Can you name one guy, Bob, one man, who has appeared at the plate even once this season, where the following statement is true for you? Man, I thought that guy was going to be way better than he is this season. Who would that be?
Well, way better? Not many people. Way better, no. I mean, I thought when I saw the lineup day one that it was going to be a challenged offensive group, and it's turned out to be that. We talked about that. There's not much. You know, Pham and Frazier, if you have a good team that you need some veterans on the bench who may be able to come in and help you, okay, fine.
No, but when you prompt them, Pham.
I'm saying when you prompt them into a starting role, that's where you have problems.
I think he's not worthy.
Well, they
of
got
any
him
role.
For the wrong reason. They want him to be their starter in left field. That's not good enough, given where he is, and his history tells you that, and his age tells you that as well.
Would you like to combine? Because it would take two people to count all his home runs so far this
no,
season.
No, none.
Yeah,
zero.
Right, and a 176.
And Brian Hayes
average.
Has one. Right.
Yep.
Again, I expect power from that position. It doesn't have to be 50 home runs.
But if I told you. In March and said, Bob, after 2 months, Key Brian Hayes will have one home run. You wouldn't have been shocked, right?
Maybe a little bit, just because I expect more than one.
Really?
How many at-bats are we talking about here? We have one home run, that's it? And you said that you would have expected that?
Last year, he had four in almost 400 at-bats.
The year before?
The year before, he had 15 in 500 at-bats.
Okay,
the year before, seven in five. He's on pace to do basically what he normally does, except for the one outlier season.
But I also thought that there was going to be a time when he would take a step forward, and I think they did too with that contract they gave him. That contract is not based on Gold Glove defense, because you can get
cheaper.
But it's bet on what you think he's going to do offensively.
If you would have told me before the season opener, you're going to be sitting here on May 10th and Key Brian Hayes has one home run and a 253 average and a 610 OPS, I would have said, yeah, that sounds about right.
All right. Reynolds would be the only guy. McCutcheon's not what I thought he could do. And so
McCutchen?
Yeah, I think that's basically what I would have expected from him.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's basically been what I right. expected.
The rest of them, though, they're, you know, I expect maybe not as bad average-wise, but I expected struggles, a lot of struggles.
Yeah. If I had to pick guys who have outperformed to underperformed, I might pick outperformed. O'Neill Cruz is one. Joey Bart's another. Bob,
and see, that's the problem. You have a year where you have Skeens on your team, and you have O'Neill Cruz, 8 home runs and doing some things, leads the National League, and maybe the majors in stolen bases. All these things, you would have expected a little bit more had they just brought some more in.
Yeah, but, I mean, when they made their big signings as Frazier and Pham and Horwitz, in terms of at least acquisitions, I wasn't expecting much. When is Horwitz going to get here, Limits? Do we know? He's on the phone.
He's on a rehab, and he's not doing all that great down there. But
it's literally supposed to be in the next week where he could be up.
I mean, I'm interested to see that at least.
So am I.
It should be.
They gave up a decent pitcher to get him, so he better be something.
He better be an on-base guy, right?
Yes.
At the very least. All right, Bob.
He had 17 home runs in Toronto, so I would expect a little bit of a power enhancement here.
Bob,
I'm telling you, that is if you're out in at night sitting on your back balcony at like 2 a.m, you will hear that.
You're bringing out a weapon of some sort to combat that.
Yeah. That is something going on back there where some deer is in trouble or some animal is attacking another animal, and that's the sound you hear.
It's when the sheeps are coming home for dinner.
Yeah.
Right there. They're trying to make you know they're back.
If there's a fox in the hen house or the sheep house, this is what you hear, Limits, I think. Bob, if you own a farm, you're definitely headed back to the animals to protect them, yes?
And there's no question. Somebody's out to get them. Absolutely. That's what that is. That is an SOS call if I've ever heard one. And poor Susie, your wife has to deal with that.
No.
You don't do that in front of her?
No, she's outlawed that a long time ago.
How do you squelch it?
She doesn't even like it.
How do you?
When I breathe.
So you don't do that at home?
I barely breathe. I can't yawn the way I want. I can't do anything.
So why have we not outlawed it, Bob? We hear it every day.
This is an outlet for my anxiety, partially, this show.
That's good.
And I apologize, Bob, that you've been dragged into all this. You never knew what was coming, did you?
I had no idea what was coming. Now I'm a scarred individual.
Not as scarred as me, Bob.
But you have to admit, you do adopt some of my songs at night.
That's the frustrating thing.
They pop in your head?
They pop in my head when I least want them to.
Yeah. Anyone in particular?
It's about the Increnculant song. I keep coming back to that one.
I've done everything for Mousy. He done nothing for me.
That one ever come alive?
Every now and then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, Limits.
Joe, I saw this story today that UCLA scientists have now identified a small molecule that, when prompted, can waken long slumbering follicles in someone's head to potentially end hair loss.
Bob, I need my follicles awakened, I can tell you that, in more ways than one.
The first human trials were conducted in 2023, and researchers found that the application of this topical medicine onto the scalp at bedtime for a week produced promising results.
Mulsey could come in with a full head of hair next week at this rate, Bob.
You want?
How fast does it happen?
That is not entirely determined yet, but it said for a week there are some results from it. So that could help Malsy significantly.
I'm willing to try that, Bob. Remember Robbie Brown of the Penguins had hair plugs?
Oh, Robbie.
It didn't go
well. I'll
tell
you what, though. He knew how to plug himself into the lineup with Mario Lemieux and turn that into a...
And then he nice reinvented fit. Himself with Kevin Constantine.
He certainly did, yeah. But he always struggled with that hair. I used to run out of and see him out in public, and he would say, man, I'd give anything for Jager's mullet. You know?
it went south in a hurry with Robbie's... hair plugs. It did. He should have.
I still remember.
Bald. He should have gone bald.
Ron Hextall chasing him around, running to hit him over the head with a hockey stick.
Yeah.
In that playoff game, that was unbelievable.
One of the great moments in Pittsburgh sports yes. history. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Peters Township. Social media's biggest loser,
Malzy.
Brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Visit them at awaken180weightloss.com.
He might be the biggest winner after that story.
He might be a winner, Bob. Malzy could come in next week looking like Art Garfunkel.
You know what, though? I'm used to seeing that. He's established his look. He doesn't need hair.
Would Malzy look better with hair at this point, or are we used to him bald?
I'm so used to him bald, I've never known Malzy with hair.
It would be jarring, Bob. I'll say that. But I think he should be willing to try it.
Well, you never know. How much does it cost? Is there
any
normally
cost
those things come
there?
They come with a heavy price tag.
No, that has not been determined yet.
Maybe Malzy could do an endorsement.
They're very possible.
What's cooking? Brought to you by your local Geico rep, Tim Hester.
Thank you, Mr. Hester.
All right, Bob. It's prediction time. Knowing what you know now, who do you think is going to play in the Stanley Cup Finals?
Well, I said Dallas from the beginning, so I'm not getting off that bandwagon. I think they're loaded. Mika Rantanen is turning out to be quite a money well-spent story. I mean, they gave him a lot of money. Carolina couldn't figure out a deal. They traded him there. Man, he's terrific. So I'll say Dallas. That's one of my picks.
Who do you want to win the Stanley Cup?
I had Tampa Bay winning against – or Tampa Bay and Dallas.
I want Winnipeg. Who do you want? Like,
first
do you have
all,
a rooting interest?
No, not really. I think Florida's going to do it. They're going to come back and beat Toronto, and then they're going to end up getting in there beating Carolina, which will upset Washington.
I think the fine people of Winnipeg deserve a cup, and if I was rooting past
that. Yeah,
but
Connor Hellebuyck's playing terrible on the road, especially. He looks very jittery.
I know, but that doesn't mean I don't want them to win. What about Edmonton? Would you like to see Connor McDavid get a cup, or would you like to see him not get one?
How about Riley Smith got a game-winning goal? He played great game. With 0.4 seconds left the other night,
that was
terrible for Edmonton.
Absolutely incrinculent.
Yeah, so I like Dallas now in Florida.
To win, but that not necessarily rooting for anybody.
No, that'll be the Stanley Cup final based. Maybe.
All right, Paul Skeens against David Peterson tonight. Peterson 2-2 with a 3.05 ERA. Who wins and how does Skeens do?
I think the Pirates will win and make it 3-1 under Don Kelly, and Skeens will be 8 innings strong tonight. We'll see the velocity that we haven't seen from him. I think he'll be ramping it up a little bit, so maybe 9 strikeouts. Pirates get limited offense, but enough to win.
Yeah, Donnie Kelly mentioned, you know, it's not like Shelton didn't mention this, but the plan is very clearly good pitching, good defense, which they did get. They haven't always gotten that this season. They got it for the better part of the weekend, pretty good defense. And timely hitting. And he talked about how a guy like Gorski put a ball in play. I think it was Friday night. Put a couple in play.
Just put it in play.
Dribblers down the third baseline.
They big plays.
Yeah, they work too.
Yeah, they do.
So I'm going to say I agree with you. I think Skeens has a dominant performance tonight. And I think the Pirates win. How do you like this, Bob? 3-0. And how do you like this, Bob? I think he pitches a complete game tonight. Do you like that?
Yeah, we haven't seen that. I'd like to see that. That'll be a change.
We have to go, Bob.
You asked me a question.
I know.
I think it's very disrespectful that I can't answer the question that you just asked.
He's yelling
me.
At me.
Well, why did you not?
I did not say anything.
Yes, you did.
Oh,
you're waving
50.
Your arms.
The 50
like
minute
we have
mark.
To go at 50.
That's the red flag. We're done.
Sorry, Bob.
See you guys later.
Sorry,
have a nice day.
Good night, Lemon.
I'm waving. Bye bye. See you tomorrow. Bob, see you Wednesday. I love you, Bob. Bob, I apologize to you as well. Pirates tonight against the New York Mets.
Why are you apologizing to him, Lemon? You're the one waving me in like an air traffic guy.